I'm not a sore loser.
That's right.
I'm wearing Texas Tech's colors today. Anybody that was able to stay up to watch the end of that game heard the very star for Texas Tech being interviewed, and they asked him how he did it and what he did and all that, and he says, excuse me, I want to give Jesus Christ all the glory and honor. And then he said, now what was your question? What a blessing. So all our prayers, we were praying. They had a lot of prayers going on. Isn't it unique and beautiful? We can celebrate and we can root, but we come together and we have brothers and sisters throughout the land. We got believers from that school in Ann Arbor. And wherever. Amen. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
It's good to see some of you shifting around, not sitting in the same seats. This is good. That messes with us, so we don't know who to pick on and stuff. But don't listen to Pastor Mike when he says, when I preach, I spit on everybody up here. Don't believe that. We want to do welcome the Facebook audience. We appreciate you that have seriously been following and staying connected. And many of you have communicated that you've been blessed. Many of you even support us. But we're just glad that you can hear the word and be blessed. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on, again, we've been talking about staying real and getting real, that when we come to church, it's not necessarily to win the lost, although sometimes people that are lost get saved, but it's to empower and to learn how we can operate with practical principles that were given to all of us so that our lives can be enhanced and strengthened. And I think many times when we go through our journey, we may think we're the only ones that encounter tough times. We might think if we're going through tough times, it must be because we're doing something wrong. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. And like I've told you in the past, wherever you're at, he's recalculating it to right where he wants you. Amen? So I want to talk to you, and I'm going to have you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And as you turn there, I want to say this, and kind of laying a foundation. I know most all of you are regulars. But faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing, not having heard. So the more you hear the principles, the more you realize that's for you too. And we do walk a supernatural walk. But I want you to also know it's also a very practical walk. And I think many times if we miss the practicalities of life, we try to do it all in this supernatural state, and we don't realize there are things that we go through that we need to understand how to deal with that practically. When you became a Christian, you became a full-time minister. The Bible, through Jesus, said once you gave your life, he says, go, make disciples. Some of you, that's in your home. Others may be in your place of employment. We don't go beating people over the head with a Bible, but we are living epistles. Right. We live in love and honesty and integrity, and people see what we got and see the love that we have. They want what we have. So you're all full-time ministers when you give your life to Jesus.
Amen.
At that same instance, when you give your life to Jesus, you get the same Holy Ghost. You get the same ghost as everybody else gets. You don't get a partial one. You don't get a baby one. You get the same Holy Ghost that brings all his nine gifts, all his nine fruit come with him. He doesn't leave them at the outside of the door when he comes to make his home in you. And don't try to figure out how he can be in all of us, but he can. That's the benefit. Jesus said that he go away, he could be in one place one time. When the Comforter comes, he'll not only be with you, he'll be in you, and he'll never leave us. So we all are anointed. Not because of us, but because who lives in us when we gave our lives to Jesus. We became anointed, we became kings and priests when we give our lives to Jesus. Whether you operate in that or not, because you haven't heard the practicalities of how it's yours, we realize we are. That's why we do not put down other Christians, we do not put down other churches, because the Bible says everyone that's saved is anointed.
Amen.
And the Word says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Anointed are believers. You're anointed. You get the same thing at salvation. We all get that. And that's the exciting thing. So our goal when we come on Sundays is learn how we can be more effective and realize the only one we should be lifting up is Jesus.
That's right.
And when we get people connected to Jesus, quit trying to sort out everybody's issues and get them to Jesus and let Jesus sort them out. Because when they know Him, the truth, they get made free. And see, man is for so long trying to be the Holy Ghost to try to sort out. Yeah, we encourage people, but until somebody gets the truth within them, they're not made free. Amen?
Amen.
So we lay that. But in that freeing mention, when we have everything, as Peter says, we get at salvation everything that pertains to life and godliness through Jesus Christ.
Right.
That means we got every tool we'll ever need. We got everything.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell someone beside you,
I got everything.
Now, my role as pastor this morning is to try to convince you, encourage you, you have that. Because many times we've lifted up, man, too long, get to this person's meeting, that person's meeting, they're so anointed. No, look to your neighbors, tell them they're anointed because they have Jesus. But, look at me, we have an enemy. And that enemy comes in two sources. The devil and the demonic hordes and the stupid, ugly flesh that we still carry around. Now the Bible says, and Jesus taught this, the devil comes to steal your health, steal your finances, steal your joy, steal your family, steal everything. He comes to kill your joy, kill your relationships, kill your relationships with God, and then finally tries to destroy. That's his role. I don't even think he cares if you die because he would rather keep you around and keep you miserable so people don't want what you got because they say, hey, you're a Christian, you're miserable.
Come on. Right.
He knows that if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He knows that's graduation. But it's here that God wants us to realize there's some practical things we all go through and we need to learn how to more practically operate in this so that we can have that abundant life. Amen? So you're at Romans chapter 8. I said all that so you understand you're full of it. You're full of God. You're full of the gifts. You're full of everything that pertains to life and godliness. And Paul knew that also. So this is what he said to the believers in Rome, which is no different today. I'm gonna read one verse and then jump to some others just so that you're with me. Verse 18 of chapter 8 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the manifested presence which is revealed in us.
Yes, sir.
Everybody look at me. Too long, people say, come to Jesus and you'll just have a piece of cake. It'll just be a glorious time. No, you come to Jesus, you're still going to go through some sufferings. You're still going to go through some tribulations. You're still going to go through some hard times. The key is, He's given us all power to know how to deal with it so it doesn't have to take us out. But what makes us different from unbelievers, we've got the tools to get out of our holes and to live heaven on earth.
Amen.
As we implement what the tools are and what we're given to all of us, not just to a pastor or evangelist. We've too long put people up and they go, oh, I got to get them to these really powerful men and women. No, if you're born again, if you ask Jesus Christ to come in your life, you're powerful. Not you, the Christ in you, the Holy Ghost that's in you. Amen? So, jumping over to verse 28. Paul says this to the Roman Christians. We know all things work together for good to those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose. All right, look at me before I go any further. I'm going to say that probably everyone in here loves God. And the purpose is you gave your heart to the Lord. So you're all called according to His purpose because His purpose is to love Him and love others. So, if everything, and I want you to see your lives right now, if you've gone through death, if you've gone through poverty, if you've gone through financial challenges, if you've gone through health issues, it's all being worked to be good. The essence of wherever you are today is not where you're staying. But God, by the power of the Ghost within you, is orchestrating your life to good. Now listen, Paul did not stop by just saying everything works for good. Now remember, a lot of people think, oh yes, I get blessed, I get my family blessed and all this. But it also, the junk that you got to go through is working towards your good. Everything. Death of a pet, death of a loved one. I can't figure it out, but I know it's all working to your good if you will not stop trusting.
Right. Yes, sir.
This is what Paul goes on and says, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 35. Who shall separate you, or believer, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Now let me ask you, church. He's talking to Christians. Paul is trying to tell real people that you're going to go through some tribulations. A tribulation is not going to feel good. It's not going to necessarily be the most comfortable. It's going to seem like, oh my gosh, am I still saved and so forth. And the challenge was to these to realize, I already told you, this is Paul, I already told you all of this is going to make out good for you. Hang in there.
Right.
Distress. If you're going through distress, you're not a bad person. Because all of us go through distress. Persecution. Famine. That means a lack. Nakedness. Peril. Sword. Verse 37 says, all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In other words, we're getting real today. You're going to go through a lot of nonsense in your journey with Christ, but nothing, Paul is saying, is you can't let anything take you away from what God is doing, because he's going to work it all to good.
Amen.
The ultimate journey where he's getting us all is to good.
Yes.
So he says this in 38. For I am persuaded, and that's my goal to you, to try to persuade you, that neither death nor life, or whether you see angels or not, or principalities and powers, things that are present, things that are come, height, depth, nothing created should be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Our ultimate is to get people hooked up that they realize you're going to go through some tough things. But if you will just take the scripture and stay connected. I've told people so many times, you can't walk this walk on your own. God never intended it to be. He never said, now that you're saved, cloister away and just you operate. No, he says, get planted in the body of Christ, and as you get older, you'll still bear fruit because you need the parts that you're not.
Right.
Nobody in here is all the parts of the body. We got one head, Jesus, but we all got various parts. So when we come together as a body, you've got things I don't have. I've got things you don't have. We need all the parts because you're all valuable. And that's how we get strong. And that's how we stay through distresses, tribulations, and hard times. Because we're not lone rangers.
That's right. Very good.
The whole enemy's purpose is to try to get us divided and conquer us. Because Jesus said a divided house can't stand. That's why he's had religion rise up and you don't do this, you don't do that, I can't like you, I can't like you. A divided house can't stand. Stop criticizing other churches or other religions, I'm talking about Christian faith, because they're on our team whether they realize it or not.
Right.
And because you've been freed and you got a truth that set you free, don't beat up others because they're not yet free. They may be free from hell, but I'm telling you there's a whole lot more freedom that God wants us to walk in.
Amen.
And that comes from learning from one another and implementing what maybe we haven't been implementing.
Excellent.
So,
yes, good word.
The prophetic word out of Jeremiah says, the Lord was saying, I know my thoughts towards you, to do you good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Yes.
You need to hear that. You hear that, because that's for all of us. Then he says in Psalms 23, though you're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to go through it. Everybody say through it. We're going to go through some things that seem like death, shadow of death. But we will fear no evil, for the Lord is with us. Didn't he say the ghost will never leave us nor forsake us?
Yes,
then he goes on, he says this. In Psalms 34, he says, many are the afflictions of righteous men and women of God. What makes you righteous?
Jesus.
You're going to go through. But it says the Lord will deliver you out of just a part of them.
All.
All. And then he says in Psalms 37, he says, your footsteps I'm ordering. Even when we make stupid step out of it, he's still recalculating us to get us to good. His goal to believers is to get us to good.
Amen.
And whatever the journey is, that's what he's been working on. And he never punishes us for our bad. We punish ourselves when we step out. And he's all the time trying to get us to good. Because that's what he promised. This is why, when we're born again, full of the Holy Ghost, we have to get around believers that will tell us, when we're going through things, trust the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not or try to figure it out with your understanding. Just keep acknowledging him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. The one that's directing, orchestrating our footsteps is the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Even though we go through the valley, we're going through. Even though it seems like, are we ever going to get through this? We do. Unless, as Galatians 6:9 says, grow not weary in doing good. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. See, what we're supposed to be doing with one another, encourage, come on, you can do it. Come on, it's going to get better. We prayed for you. I don't know why it hasn't manifested yet, but we're not going to stop praying, and we're not going to stop encouraging you. That's body ministry. Hebrews 6:2 says this, faith and patience. Now, did I not say that you got all the fruit of the Ghost? Do you know that one of the fruits, patience? So don't be telling your wife, well, I've got patience, you don't, or whatever. If you're born again, you got patience. You've got long suffering. You've got it. Now, whether you're implementing it or not, that's another thing, but you got it. And knowing that you got it, we've got to learn how to use it. Faith and patience inherits the promises. Now, Paul went on to a very messed up Corinthian church and told them in I think it was 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of God's promises are already what?
Yes
and amen, which means so be it. In other words, they're all, which we got them all, they're already yes and so be it. But in our journey, it doesn't look like we're getting that promise. So we encourage, come on, get back up. You can do it. Come on there. Don't keep going that wrong way. Come on there. We're encouraging you. We are to be encouragers.
Amen.
So they can get in the presence of the Lord. He can touch their lives and set them free. Because they're already free from hell because they made Jesus Christ their Lord. We're looking at life and life more abundantly. The practicalities. I went through a movement my wife and I called Word of Faith. Very good movement. You got grounded and founded in the Word. But in every movement of God, you got to watch it. Sometimes it enslaves people. An enslaved part of that was, man, if you got a sickness or disease, you just need more faith. You, oh my gosh, if you could just believe high. And people are like believing harder and trying to get more faith, and they're striving for something they already got. It's just get
Amen.
Used to sometimes there's a season before it manifests. I prayed for people that got it instantaneously, and I prayed for people for years that finally got it. But I'm telling you, grow not weary, doing good. In due season, we're going to reap.
Yes, sir.
And why we get excited, because the reaping's not just me, the reaping is us.
Amen.
So we get excited for breakthrough. So what are you believing for? If there's something you've been believing for, a health breakthrough, or maybe for a financial breakthrough, maybe it's relationship breakthrough. It's yours. Because it's all into place to get you to good. Amen? Amen. Let me give you this season that we're in. It's called Passover. Let me just tell you. Remember when we learned in fact, I'm gonna have you, if you got your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians 10 before I go to the Passover. This is what the new covenant tells us believers. Verse 1 says this, believers, I don't want you to be ignorant, unaware of what our forefathers did as they were under the cloud and they passed through the sea. In other words, he's trying to share there's something we glean from the old covenant to help us. And he goes on and says this, verse 11, the things that happened to them was for our examples. And they were written, That's why the Old Covenant was written. It was written for our encouragement. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So in other words, when we look at examples of David or Moses or the Passover as we're looking, it was given for our example to see how God operated, but it also was written for our encouragement. We're in a covenant far greater than the old covenant, but we have to learn. It was laid out there so we can learn from it.
Yes, sir.
We're in a Passover because I want you to understand the heartbeat of God. Do you know in the Passover, you got the children of Israel for over 400 years were believing for this breakthrough, this freedom that we're living in through Christ. And Moses rises up, and we know the Lord spoke to him. And they followed what he was telling them. That you have a pure, perfect little lamby that you were going to butcher about this time of year. But you're going to take the blood of this little perfect lamb, and you're going to put it sprinkled on the doorpost of where you're at. And because you're doing that as a sign of giving your lives to the Lord. Now today, Jesus, because of his blood, we give our lives to Jesus. Because of that, it's going to tell my death angel that you're part of the team that's going to pass over you. And that night, we know what happened. It didn't just happen to Egyptians. It also happened to Israelis that did not put the blood on the mantle. It's no different today. When we don't operate in what's already ours, we get beat up. And the Pharaoh says, go. I'm going to tell you, there was an excitement in the camp. As all these million Israelites are leaving, not only with all their goods, but taking the goods of their captors. And they're all excited. Here you go. It's exciting. When you get that raise, when you meet that special person that you've been believing God for, when you see your kids come home, it's exciting. It's exciting. And then reality sets in. Now, did not God promise the children of Israel that he was taking them to the promised land? Does God ever lie? Does he ever change his mind? No. So they're heading out. Just imagine all these millions trumpeted across. They're all excited. They're probably celebrating the first couple days. Then they get to this obstacle called a big sea. Big, big sea. And they camp here. And they think, And I can see the wise ones think, boy, God brought us here. Okay, do we go north, south? Which direction are we going to go? Because we can't go across here. Then all of a sudden, they hear all the sounds of horses and chariots coming up behind them. And you know what it said? They begin to cry out, oh, no, you brought us out here to kill us. Oh, my gosh. They all of a sudden, instead of realizing God works everything for the good, they begin to cry out, and God in his scriptures, you can look in Exodus, lays it out and says, he opened. They knew which way to go. In fact, when he opened it, it says it was dry land. And all the troops go through, all the Israelites. And then the enemy tried to follow. And we know the story. It came back and it wiped them out. I'm going to tell you, on the other side of the river, they were pretty excited. And they began to say, oh, what a love, what a God, 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 what a God. And it didn't take long. And they began to complain again.
Right.
And to murmur, oh, we're going to get his manna. Oh, my gosh, manna this, manna that. They just got delivered. They just saw the miracle hand. How many times have you ever heard, oh, I wish I could see miracles. If I saw miracles, I'd really be a believer.
Come on.
No, you wouldn't. You're going to be a believer because of faith. And if you get the miracles,
yes,
that's great. They're available. So what I'm saying is God never quit. And I'm here to tell you, some of you got some horses and chariots that have come against your life. And this is the enemy that's telling you, you think your finances are ever going to get better? Do you think your health is going to get better? It's going to keep deterring. Do you think those broken relationships are ever going to be repaired? Those are the horses and chariots that are after you. And if you're not in the church body that's going to encourage you, I'll stand with you. It's going to work to your good. You're going to get in fear. Oh, my gosh, am I never, God, don't you hear my prayers? He says he hears the prayers of righteous men and women.
Yes,
that's a given.
Yes,
and you're righteous because you're a believer. And it didn't matter how many miracles, the cloud by day to keep them from the heat or the fire by night to warm them. And that sounds like pretty miraculous. But human nature still. I mean, Moses goes up to get some. He says, you guys are crying out. I wanted to communicate with all of you. Now listen, this is how religion started. They said, oh, yes, we want to hear from God. We want to hear from God. Then they saw the thundering on the mountain and the lightning. And they said, no. God, just speak through Moses. Here's the first religion. Speak to the top dog. And he'll give us the directions and we'll listen. God's intention that we all would be communicators with him.
Yes, sir.
But in the old covenant, because of their stubbornness and their fear, he had to set things in order. And that's where we get the priests, the prophet, the kings. And we'll hear from them because God never intended that we would go through man, but that we would all go directly to him. They feared. What'd they start doing? So God says, okay, I'll give you some commandments that nobody can keep. And we know the 10, but there's 600 and some that were laid out that nobody could keep, that every year they had to have sacrifices. And here we are with a covenant of Jesus Christ that all our sins are forgiven, past, present, future, and yet we're to encourage one another. God's working whatever we're going through to good because he's got a plan for each of us.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we're here as a team, then we're going to be a compliment. We're going to be a blessing one to another. That's why my cry is, please don't let the enemy tell you, oh, you've been hurt in church. Don't go to church. Stay home. You can just have church with your family. I'm telling you, that's a trick of the enemy. I don't know too many people that do that, that sustain. It starts out really nice. Oh, look, this is so cool. We don't have to get up in the morning. We don't have to worry about supporting anything. We just hear from God. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says that we need each other. And that's why he brings a body together. It's not religiously, it's relationship.
Right.
He wants us to be in a beautiful relationship. God never abandoned the children of Israel when the horses and the chariots were pursuing them, and he hasn't abandoned any one of you that are going through hell or going through tribulation, who's going through hard times, who's going through broken relationships. God has not abandoned you, and he's working things into place, and he's working it around for his glory, but it's going to be for your good. Your good, your good. I look at it like this. It's like death, lack, unhealthy, poor, good. It's all moving for good.
Amen.
Because you love him.
Good word.
I was reading an article on somebody that wasn't necessarily a top priority, was an athlete. But his name was Ben Malcolmson. In 2006, he was a senior at USC. He was a journalist major. In other words, he majored in journalism. One of the things that he was working on as he was finishing his senior year was a book about challenging people to get outside your comfort. So he wanted a part in his book, so he thought, I'm going to try out for the football team. Just so I could put that in. I did. I tried. Well, anyway, he tried out for this, and Pete Carroll, who was the coach at the time, put him on the team. He was astounded. Now, this was a very strong Christian guy in public college looking for God's mandate and his direction. He thought, oh, my gosh, I didn't expect to make the team, but cool. So he began to practice and he began to get opportunities and so forth. So he thought, God, why am I in this? That seemed like, it's good, it's great. He says, I'll have a Bible study. So he put all this literature together and invited the team and that to a Bible study. Nobody showed. Roadblock. Oh. So he thought, maybe it's to have a prayer time. I'll invite the team and that. We can pray regularly. So he set that up, and he was waiting for them to come, and nobody came. Another roadblock. But he didn't get discouraged. He says, okay, God, I don't seem to be able to touch any lines. So they made the playoffs, or what we would call, he made a bowl, USC. They're a good football team, okay? And so they were to go home on Christmas and come back a few practices before the New Year's. He bought 100 Bibles. He bought beautiful ones, and while the team was away, 100 of them he placed right at their lockers. He came back after Christmas and found all the Bibles shredded, tore apart, and scattered all over the locker room. And again, a roadblock, a stronghold. Why am I here, Lord? And he went on, he pursued, and he ended up being hired where Pete Carroll went to coach the Seattle Seahawks. He actually was a communication person, ended up going there. 4 years later, he ran into one of his athletes who said, did you know that one of those Bibles got into the hands of an unbeliever, and he began to read it, and he gave his life to Jesus. It was a public proclamation. 3 weeks later, he was tragically killed in an accident. And all he could think is, thank you, Jesus, that one of those Bibles got into somebody's hands. So in the midst of all the enemy telling him, you're an idiot, they don't care anything about me or whatever, that one individual that God had already purposed was going to read those scriptures before graduation day and going on and be with the Lord. I'm telling you, you don't know what your journey is going to consist of, but I'm here to encourage you. It's going to end up good, and he wants us to help others end up in good, and that's why we're together. And that's why we encourage one another. That's why we pray. That's why we stand. Told a brother, if we would quit trying to be the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will convict people. When they got idiot things that they're doing, don't try to straighten out those idiot things that they're doing, even though it keeps putting them in the ditch. Get them to Jesus, and I'm telling you, Jesus can straighten out Humpty Dumpty and put them back together again. Let the one that really will change somebody be the Holy Ghost. We can encourage our loved ones and our families, be the examples to them. And I close with telling you that many of you in here know I was raised in a very good family. But I took some wrong turns, and I thank God for praying parents, but I thank God that he kept working things out. I planned to be a veterinarian. I planned to be in Michigan State, and that door got closed, and the letter I got was, you apply too late, we're full, apply next year, go to a junior college. I thought, oh my gosh, I missed out, going to be a vet. And then I found out God directed my life that he wanted me to be a teacher, and I ended up at Central, and then I chose to student teach in three powerful wrestling schools because wrestling was my sport. You see, my senior year, when I was to shine, I got kicked off because I was doing things that were not good. Not under my mom and dad knowing, but I got kicked off the wrestling team. I got kicked off the varsity club. I got voted out by classmates. I felt like in the pits. I wanted to blame everybody, but I had to look in the mirror to see who had done that which was wrong. But God continuously worked. I don't even know how PK even would go out with me because she was Polly Pure Heart. And she was a year younger than me, and I'm thinking, you know, I'd already been kicked out about everything my senior year. But thank God, God didn't ever give up on me. And thank God that my parents never stopped praying for me. And when we went to Central, and they didn't give me one of these top three wrestling schools, and they sent me to Hemlock, I thought, Hemlock, who wants to go to Hemlock? I never heard of Hemlock. So my last class was to be I guess they call it like a coach at Hartley Nature Camp, which I'd never heard of. So I got there, and I met a guy named Chuck Coons who was going to start a program at Swan Valley, but was at Hemlock. I said, oh, no, Hemlock's a good school. But I said, yeah, but I wanted a wrestling school. Well, I'm sorry. When I got there, and the one that I was students teaching for was the head football coach. So I said, well, I'll coach football. He said, hey, we got this brand new mat. And we're in the league now. We're going to wrestle this year. And we're going to need a coach. How would you like to start the wrestling program? And I thought, So all of a sudden, all those roadblocks. I'm married. They said married people get to choose what schools to student teach in. Didn't work that way. God had a plan. He wanted me in Saginaw County. He wanted me planted here. Now, if anybody said you're going to end up pastoring, I said, you've got to be kidding me. You've heard my dad and my brothers. I'm the least of my family that would be. But God had a plan, and he kept working it out. And here I was, and it was tight when I hired in the 70s at Hemlock because they were cutting, and Milliches were big. And we were undefeated as a wrestling school the first year at Christmas, and they made a job for me the second semester. I was in the middle school, the high school. I was teaching all kinds of things. And I think to myself as I look back how God, again, took roadblock after roadblock to get me to where he wanted me to be. And here we are. And I'm going to tell you that you have been on a journey, every one of you. You may think you've made some bad turns. You may wonder why you're still located in the north where it's cold. You may wonder why you're working where you're at. You may have gone through, Dennis, two different jobs and you want to beat yourself up. But don't let the devil tell you that, because the right job is just around the corner. And it's coming in Jesus' name. Or you're wondering why you haven't got the manifestations, Pat. And we're believing with you and so forth. But it's coming. It's right around the corner. God is going to bring the right contact in. David, you're wondering, why is my legs at this? I'm happy. I love God. I know. But he's placing things into place. Your breakthrough is coming. Those horses and chariots are going to go under. And you're going to come out free. Because God has got good in store for you all.
Yes, sir.
But you got to look through the junk. And I'm going to challenge you, stop beating yourself up just because everything hasn't come exactly how you thought it should. Because God knows more than you know. I would have never chose Hemlock. I would have never chose this or that. Thank God, God chose me and directed me as he directs you. And I thank God for every movement that PK and I went through, because it gave us even more refreshing to understand. You see, we were pretty different back when we first started. Pretty hard. Word of God works. And then thank God for the next movement that freed us. We got hit with the freedom of the Holy Ghost. And we learned what it was like to relax and just let people learn on their own. It saved our lives. Ministry became fun. It's enjoyable. I don't have to straighten anybody out. I can encourage people, and whether or not you choose or not, I'm still going to love you. If you want to choose to be rebellious, I still love you.
Yes.
And that's how we love the body of Christ wherever they go to church. Because we don't put conditions on them. If it didn't fit where you were, God bless you, got here, and this is a fit. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to challenge those that are listening this morning also, that if you're not planted in a local body, I'm going to encourage you. There are things you'll learn and people that'll help with your rough areas that will help you get free and stay free. But your breakthrough is coming because God's got good in mind.
Yes.
You all prayed for the ones on your left and right. Do you believe God heard your prayer? Do you believe it's by accident that you're where you are, or that you sat where you sat? No, God helped you choose your seat and help the person pray on your left and right, because we get to celebrate when you get free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Feet, yeah. And if you are deformed, no. Now, we're gonna close, but just pan, and if you're up in front, look around at these beautiful people that are part of your body. Isn't this cool? All different sizes, shapes, ages. Cool. Backgrounds, journeys. All of us are different, but we're all important, and we're all needed to be a blessing to one another. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, we close today, not our walk, because we go mightily out, realizing that you are in us, and the love that's been shed abroad in our heart is going to be released as we go to work, as we go to our homes, as we go to play. And we thank you, Lord, that you're orchestrating our footsteps to good. I thank you that many are the afflictions that we go through, but thank you, Jesus. We will not grow weary in well-doing. We're going to have done all. We're going to stand on your truth, and we're going to help bear one another up as they go through theirs.
Yes.
And we thank you that we have the victory, and there is no sting, even at our death. The worst an enemy thinks he can do, that's graduation to us.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the camaraderie in this room and those that are viewing from afar. We thank you that what you begun, you will finish it. And we're encouraged. And we're encouraging ourselves in you today, Lord. In Jesus' name. And if you've tuned in today and you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it is the most important thing you can do. And I encourage you to give your life to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins, and I give you my life. Help me. I need your help. Thank you. You'll give me the Holy Ghost, who will never leave me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, you're part of the team.
Yes.
It's a warring team. It's a victorious team. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love on one another this morning. If you need prayer, we got the prayer open.